Welcome into the final hour of Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. We're here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Caroline is off today and tomorrow. She'll be back with us on Monday. We've also got the reporter, Nick Keiser, back at the studio, and he wants in. We're going to talk to our special guest, Elliot Friedman. And Elliot, just so you know, you're such a popular guest. Nick Keiser asked, he said, can I ask Elliot a question since Caroline isn't here today? So, he will be weighing in, just so you know. So be prepared for this up-and-coming star.
He warned me.
Yes, we have given you full warning. So let me start it with this, Elliot. I was listening this morning, you and Jeff Merrick had a great conversation with Connor Hellebuck. It's really interesting to hear a goalie talk shop, if you will, really in-depth about some of the nuances of the position. And he was just through here the other day, a great goaltender battle between two of the best, Hellebuck and UC Soros, and Nashville came out on top 2-1. But Hellebuck is an interesting character here, and I would recommend a lot of people go back and listen. But what jumped out at you most when he was talking?
Well, I liked when he talked about who were the biggest pains in the butt in front of the net.
Yes.
And he said Corey Perry, Jamie Benn, and the Tkachuk brothers. I like that, too. You know, I think for a lot of us, I always say, like, I've been doing, when I really entered the business was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup, the Montreal Canadiens, in 1993. And I say it a lot, before I get thrown out of the sport, I would like to cover a Canadian team winning the Cup. I don't care which one it is, I just want to see one of them win it. And so, 2018 was their trip to the Stanley Cup final, and I know it's not a great memory for Predators fans because the Jets knocked you out in your division final. But some of the stuff talking about that, Derek, you can probably really appreciate this. I was told by one teammate of Hellebuck's, they played Game 7 against Nashville in Nashville, and one of the Jets players told me that after the warm-up, they knew there was no way they were losing that night. That Hellebuck was so dialed in and had such a great warm-up that guys skated off that ice and they said, we're winning tonight. And I the way he talked about that, I love there's sometimes when you're an elite-level athlete that you know you're so dialed in and nothing's going to go wrong for you. I love it when a top player can walk out of a warm-up or a practice or right before a game and can say, this is our night and we're going to win. I just love that kind of stuff.
It was so interesting to hear him talk about that because after they won that game, of course, it was shattering for everybody here. They got the two early goals, kind of strange goals against Pekka Rinne, and they pulled Pekka Rinne, and it never really got to the climax of what you would hope for a Game 7 at home. But after that, I would have been 100% convinced. I'm sure I did on the air. I was sure that the Jets were going to follow up and win the next round for sure and probably win the Cup. And it, like he said, it's just sort of – it turned all of a sudden. I could not believe they went down. Of course, Vegas made a lot of believers out of non-believers, like all year long, first year in the league. Like, what is going on here? But I was sure the Jets were going to win it.
They ran out of steam. It's that simple. Sometimes it happens. You have the big victory, and then you get the come down, and I think that's what happens in that particular series.
Tell me this, Elliot. I know the commissioner had some interesting things to say the other day.
Yeah.
One of them, he said teams don't tank. And, of course, he's got his argument, right, of how he does it. It does make sense if you listen to it in detail, but we all know that he's trying to calm down a thing that is very widely suspected, right? That you set your team up knowing you're trying to get yourself. And we've talked about it with you a lot. It's a very special draft this year.
Yep.
So what do you think? What do you make of him just trying to make that argument, knowing that he knows that everybody is going to have a hard time buying that?
Well, sometimes he says things and we know it's not true or it's craziness, and he knows it's craziness, but he says them anyway. And one of the things I've learned with Bettman is that sometimes he's not talking to us. He's talking to other people out there. Like, we may be asking him the questions, but he is not answering the questions to us. He's answering them to sponsors, or he's answering them to fans, or things like that. And I asked someone about this the other day. Like, I said to someone, why does he say this? And someone sent me a note. Did you guys see what happened in that Miami Heat basketball game the other night, where the Jimmy Butler fan bought the ticket and he wasn't playing, and the fan said, I spent like $500 to the game or whatever tonight, and Jimmy Butler's not playing? And the NBA and Butler, in its wisdom, they turned it into a really good story where the fan got a chance to meet Butler and got the picture taken with him, and they made the best out of a really tough situation. But the NBA has a big problem right now with load management. Like, there's too many games right now, particularly if a player like a Steph Curry or a LeBron, they're only going to some cities once a year. You buy your tickets and you never know who's going to play, right?
You've seen this, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In fact, Ellie, it's interesting you mentioned that. Derek was just talking about he's going up to see his son, who goes to college at Boston U. They're going to see the Lakers and the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember they had this conversation earlier in the week. Yeah, we think Anthony Davis is going to play. We think LeBron's going to play. But you have to sort of gauge that when you set something at. You don't know.
No idea. And I think what Batman is saying is, we are a gate-driven league. We want people buying our tickets. And I think that's what he's saying. He's like, he's not giving... He will never say anything that gives people reason not to buy a ticket. That's what I think it is. Even though we all think right. He's just saying that.
The other thing that was noteworthy, and I'm sure every GM is dying to know, when are they going to get this answer one way or the other, is next year's salary cap. Tell us what he said there and what you make of it.
Well, next year's salary cap, it doesn't sound like it's going to be going up very much. It sounds like it's only going to be the $1 million. I was surprised when he even said earlier in the year it could be more than that. It's not like him to do things like that, but I just think it's going to be a tight cap, and then we'll go up in a year from now. I think there could be room for the two sides to hammer it out. But I think Bettman is for a bigger increase this year. But I think Bettman would ask for a lot from it, and potentially things the players would not want to do. So I'm not expecting it. So I think this is going to be another tight summer for the cap. I mean, you know, the other thing too, guys, there's a story coming down now where it's not one that a lot of us are really familiar with. I would guess, Willie, you probably have a bit more knowledge about it than most. This whole thing with the Bally Sports and the Diamond Sports, it doesn't only affect the NHL, it affects NBA and Major League Baseball too. And we're just all trying to figure out, like, what's this going to mean? Is there a chance that this is going to cause a problem? So I think that nobody's really expecting there to be a big bump this year unless it's negotiated. And right now I kind of see a hard path towards that.
Now, Elliot, obviously the All-Star game is All-Star break is coming up pretty soon here. I think the Predators, they got a game tonight, and I think they got one more before the break. Am I right, Willie?
Yep, this is the last one.
One more for the break. And the break is a long break, and, you know, coming from my world, you only get, you know, at a bye week is only not even a week to sort of get away and decompress. But in the NHL, you get almost 2 weeks. And for a team like the Nashville Predators, who seem to have – you know, somewhat figured things out. They've been playing pretty well. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They had their player-only meeting, and it seems like it worked. They came out and they played extremely well. How does this affect the team that seems to have, you know, gotten everything sort of right, and they're playing well, and then all of a sudden you go into this long break?
Well, you always like the long break when you're playing terribly, and you don't like it when you're playing well. So they probably don't like it as much right now. But you know you're going to have to deal with it. Every team has to deal with it. Everybody gets it. So you hope that everybody goes, they get some rest, and they come back fired up for for the post All-Star performance. I mean, I'll tell you this one, Derek. You never want to be in a situation where your last game before the break is a stinker, and you've got a really tough opponent coming in there in New Jersey. They're a heck of a team. You never want your last game to be a stinker, because then everybody's annoyed about it, and it just kind of sits with you there until you come back and play. And so that's what I bet. I bet that everybody's going to be riled up to play, because I think you're going to sit there and say, okay, if we end our first half of the season poorly, that's going to stick with us over our break.
Now they're going to be missing for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Carrier, one of their defensemen.
Yeah.
What do you think this means for the team? Now, he's not one of their top line defensemen, but he still contributes to the team a lot.
I think it's a big loss. I do. I like Carrier's game. I think he's a really talented young guy. I agree with you. He's not the sexiest name, but he is, like, he's a player that you can depend on. He's steady. He's solid. You can see the coach, for the most part, really trusts him. I always say this, though: one man's injury is another man's opportunity, and somebody's going to have to step up. There's minutes now. Carrier plays; he plays quite a bit. It's going to be someone's opportunity. You hate to lose him, but somebody's got to take the chance to step up.
And Elliot, did you see how it happened? they said after the game. Well, early in the game, they're down 1-0 in the first minute. Cody Glass, of course, from Winnipeg, he gets run over by Logan Stanley, who's 6'7".
Did he get hurt in the fight?
He got hurt in the fight. 5'11" versus 6'7". So it's like, hey,
I like
unbelievable heart. I love the heart, but oh boy.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one, because the other night Chicago played in Vancouver, and one of the Chicago guys got run over, and Max Domi went to fight the Vancouver guy, and he got 17 minutes in penalty. Now, he didn't get hurt, but Chicago has trouble scoring, and they lost one of their best forwards for 17 minutes. And they asked Luke Richardson about it, the coach of the Blackhawks, and he said, well, I'm never going to argue with a guy standing up for one of his teammates, but I don't like to lose him. I'm sure John Hines is thinking about the exact same thing there. Who else was on the ice at the time? Was there anybody else who should have been fighting?
No, it was the top line. So it would be Glass, Forsberg, yeah, Duchesne, Carrier, Ekholm. So I think...
Yeah, that's a tough one then.
That's
because
tough.
You can't look at someone else and say you should have done it. So, I mean, it's just a bad break. It's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
So Elliot Friedman has been our guest here this afternoon. Elliot, I know that we saw one small trade last night between Colorado and San Jose, you know, albeit that was a minor deal. You know, what could we see as far as maybe the market heating up here in the next few weeks? Do you think Nashville makes more of a depth move as opposed to maybe splashing, making something big happen?
Well, I think this. I think it's starting to loosen. I think there's starting to be more talk, but there's still a lot of there's still a lot of teams that are close to the cap or in long-term injury. So I still think it's hard. I think I say this all the time, players decide. You know, your GM, he's not afraid, but he's going to let the Predators determine what he does. And, you know, you guys have some time off, and then after that's over, you're going to have a month before the trade deadline to figure out where you are. And I think the Predators' results will determine. He's not going to add if he doesn't think it's worth it, unless it's a player he thinks they're going to have for a long time. So I think how you guys play between now and the deadline is going to determine that.
Nick, good stuff. Hey, how'd the rookie do, Elliot? Good question there.
They ask better questions than I do. That's
So there you go, Nick. Clip that and keep that recording for your file, okay? Good job. Hey, Elliot, as always, great to catch up with you. Enjoy your work, and we'll talk to you again here very soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yep,
all right. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, the podcast. He and Jeff Merrick, always a great heartbeat of what's going on around the NHL. When we come back, we'll have more from Pete and Terry's here on 102.5 The Game.